Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Welcome to the brightest audience in the country. I'm Fred Williams, host of Real Science Radio. I was planning on having Doug McBurney back into the studio to finish our discussion on the legacy media. I'm so looking forward to that, but guess what? We're going to hold off on that for one more week because we have a lot of big things in the news that have popped in this week. For example, the recent events surrounding the untimely death of actress Anne Heche. It brought to mind the research Bob and I did for a show back in 2017 about so-called brain-dead patients who recovered. And it's been over 5 years since we aired that show, so I'm going to put any talk of the legacy media on hold and instead do an update on the news and events surrounding the issue of organ and tissue donation and being declared brain dead. So to do that, I want to invite back into the Real Science Radio studios, Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back to the broadcast, Doug.
Thank you, Fred. And thanks especially for reminding all of us about this subject that really deserves more airtime and more open discussion all the way around. You know, this issue that you and Bob talked about, I remember that show, 2017, being declared brain dead. What does that really mean? And you and Bob talked about how it relates to personhood and the right to life and the topic of organ donations and just... really just where we are in understanding all of these issues better in light of the Bible and in light of God's definition of right and wrong.
Yep, that's right, Doug. But before we get into the developments around this issue of so-called brain-dead patients, there's something else that happened this week with the Webb telescope. We're getting headlines now from things it's discovering, and it's super cool. So I want to talk about those.
Huge,
yeah, it's awesome. And it's, you know, totally what we'd expect and predict. I'm sure Bob and I made this prediction a while ago, and we have one of our supporters, and he's done the show with us before too, Perry Little in Texas. He also made a similar prediction, and I want to read that before we get to some of the stories on the Big Bang. So we're going to do this Webb telescope discovery stuff that affects and impacts what we believe about the origins of the universe and the so-called Big Bang. And then we'll get to the issue on this so-called brain dead situation.
Oh, that sounds awesome, Fred. Now, wait a second. Now, you're going to quote a prediction from Perry Little,
yep,
right?
Friend down in Texas.
Now, do we have solid evidence that this prediction existed before you are about to read it today? Is there some way that we can confirm this all exists?
Yes, it's on a discussion board for XJWs. This is where he made the prediction. And that board, there's mostly atheists on that board because the atheists, as Perry Little pointed out to us last year, they wait with open arms for Jehovah Witnesses that are leaving the faith. The atheists are standing at the exit door waiting to greet them with open arms. So Perry Little has a very important ministry where he tries to reach them with the truth of Christianity because, you know, JWs have been lied to their whole life and been taught a lot of weird things. Well, anyways, this is what Perry posted on that discussion board. He said
now,
this.
Now, wait, before you go forward, Fred, before you go forward, I want to timestamp this for all of the secular astronomers and the college professors and the high school teachers out there. This is on a discussion board that's just tangentially related to creation or young Earth or astronomy. So this is, I would say, as close as you can get to an unquestionable source for a pre-existing prediction, and not to mention, Fred, all the predictions that you and Bob have cataloged on the show for about 15 years, but go ahead with Perry Little's prediction.
Okay. He wrote this. Instead of finding a big mess, as the Big Bang predicts, they will find fully formed stars, spiral galaxies, and black holes. I further predict that scholars adhering to the Big Bang model will use words like surprising, amazing, uncanny, astonishing. And then they will admit that stars must have formed far earlier than previously thought.
So Fred, while you are reading Perry's quote, I'm just scanning some of the articles that I printed out. So, and it's almost as if Perry Little is some kind of clairvoyant who speeded forward in time and read the actual articles in my hand before he wrote that. Because that is almost verbatim quotes from some of the articles that we've got to go through these, Fred. The first one, let's see, this is from mindmatters.ai, and the headline is James Webb Space Telescope shows Big Bang didn't happen? Wait. Now, the author here at Mind Matters, he does point out that the scientist quoted in this article is a physicist named Eric J. Lerner. And Lerner is the author of a book called The Big Bang Never Happened that was published back in 1992. And so the author here says, well, that makes him an interested party in the debate, but it doesn't make him wrong. And that's interesting that mindmatters.ai, I've never heard of it, so I'm assuming it's not really a young earth creationist type website.
No, and so I don't believe so.
I find it interesting that the author of what I'm about to read points out that this guy might not be wrong, and the title of the book is The Big Bang Never Happened. Fred, it's almost as if we're making progress.
Yeah. And this article is only last week, right? This is August 13th, just a week ago.
Yeah, just from a week ago. And he says, the article at Mind Matter says, the Webb Space Telescope sending us back images of the cosmos. They are beautifully awe-inspiring. But, and then this is where it gets fun. They're also extremely surprising.
Now, extremely surprising.
What was the word?
So that's the first underline.
And he says, and not at all what was predicted by the theory. And then ironically, Fred, he calls it a flood of papers have been published since July 12th when the Webb telescope started sending back its pictures. A flood? Did he say a flood of papers have been published? I think he said a flood. And he says, again and again, pictures show many galaxies that are surprisingly smooth, surprisingly small, and surprisingly old. He used surprisingly three times, Fred.
But wait, there's another surprise.
As if to amplify Perry's prediction, he used it three times. Yeah, that's right. Lots and lots of surprises. One paper's title begins with the... I can't even read this. So funny. The one paper's title begins with the candid exclamation, panic! Exclamation point.
So I got to ask the listening audience, is the word panic, is that a scientific term or a religious or emotional term?
Well, I have not seen that in an equation anywhere. Yeah, panic with a big exclamation point. And then Mind Matters, the author goes on, why panic? What are the pictures coming back from Webb? What are they contradicting? Well, the papers that have been published don't actually say the truth that these papers don't report is that the hypothesis that the Webb images are blatantly and repeatedly contradicting is the Big Bang hypothesis. Wow. There's the headline right there from a secular website. The Big Bang hypothesis itself has been brought into question, even amongst those who have advocated it for, my whole life, I think. That they're actually willing to consider the fact that the hypothesis itself has been contradicted by empirical evidence. Pictures. A picture's worth 1,000 words,
that's right,
Fred. And then in this case, it's worth a few dozen papers that have come out, all of them kind of tiptoeing around the issue of the hypothesis that the Mind Matters author admits that this hypothesis, the Big Bang hypothesis, has, quote, been defended for decades as unquestionable truth.
Yeah, and boy, he quotes this Allison Kirkpatrick. She's an astronomer at the University of Kansas in Lawrence. And she says this, right now I find myself lying awake at 3 in the morning and wondering if everything I've done is wrong.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you, Fred, I've never been there at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering if everything I've ever done is wrong. I've never been there with my worldview, but I have been there in that situation with my work. You're working on a project, and then something comes along that shows you that, I don't like everything you've invested the last 18 months of your life in. You probably are familiar with this, Fred. Everything you've worked on for the last however long turns out to be, it's all going to be wasted because of one inconvenient fact, and that'll keep you awake at night.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've laid awake, you know, thinking, okay, hey, you know, maybe this project we're working on, it's looking like the data isn't quite what we wanted it to be. And we got a competitor that they're actually better than us. So is the company going to try to spin that, or are we off to the next project? And usually you're off to the next project. But yeah, this is really cool stuff. No doubt about it.
So that's like one project here, one project there in a work career where you might figure out that you've been on the wrong track. And then, the big question is, what are we going to do? Yeah, is the boss going to try to spin this, or are we going to actually admit that, are we going to admit defeat and move on? Well, it could be that the Webb telescope photos is going to drag some astronomers and researchers and theoretical physicists, maybe kicking and screaming. It may drag them into the reality that it might be time to reconsider this Big Bang hypothesis.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I've got one of our listeners, and it turns out, Doug, last show we did, we talked about this artwork, and we didn't know who did it. Well, we found out. I got an email from John Wilcox. So, John, thanks for doing that coffee doodle. But he also pointed out, there's been a couple of times I've said it's like shooting apple in a barrel. It's actually shooting fish in a barrel. But you know what? Let's shoot apples, too. It's all easy stuff. It's fun doing this show because this happens all the time. Every week we've got something like this. It just confirms creation, and we're not bobbing for fish in a barrel. So it's good stuff. That'd be kind of challenging.
It gets more and more difficult every time I listen, Fred.
I think they're bobbing for fish in an ocean is when they're with the whole Big Bang. So, you know, we're shooting apples or fish in a barrel, whichever, you know, take your pick.
Yeah, I think this is, shooting apples in a barrel against people who are bobbing for fish in an ocean. That's pretty good.
I like that.
That's pretty accurate, Fred. Now, do you want to introduce, I know we've got at least, I saw a couple of more headlines.
Yep. There's another one from science.org, you know, Science Magazine. That's one of the big secular science journals.
It's prestigious from what I understand.
Prestigious science journal. The Webb telescope reveals unpredicted bounty of bright galaxies in early universe.
Unpredicted?
Star formation after the Big Bang appears much faster than models had forecast. So just like Perry said, he predicted that they would say that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, and I love the opening line of the article. No one was expecting anything like this. And then I underlined that, and I said, well, except for Fred and Bob on Real Science Radio, and a few others, I'm sure.
And Perry Little.
Yeah, Perry Little. And our resident artist, John Wilcox. He may have been suspecting something like this might happen, right?
Yep. So he starts by quoting Michael Boylan Colchin. I wonder if he's one of those guys who wanted to take his wife's last name. I don't know. Anyways.
No, I think he might be one of those guys whose wife made him take her last name.
There you go. So he says this, no one was expecting anything like this. And then there's Rachel Somerville of the Flatiron Institute says galaxies are exploding out of the woodwork.
Ah, the woodwork. Now there's another scientific term. You know, that's where galaxies come from, is out of the woodwork.
And then the next one from Garth Illingsworth of the University of California at Santa Cruz. This is way outside the box of what models were predicting. Way outside the box.
And he's from where? University of California at Santa Cruz. Really? Santa Cruz? Are there experts from UC Santa Cruz? But hey, well, and the author at science.org admits that galaxy formation models now need a revision. Gas clouds should be far slower to coalesce than suggested by Webb's images. Yeah, but anyway, Webb has the images. And so, Fred, again, I'm astonished that an author at Science is admitting, begrudgingly, I'm sure, that their model may need a revision. Now, revision is that's being kind, I think. Mm-hmm. But anyway, very fun stuff. Very fun to read, Fred.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there are models. When you try to model something, first of all models are wrong and some are useful. That's a quote, and it is pretty much true. But their model was guaranteed to be wrong because they started with a really, you know, bad hypothesis. They assume that there's no God when there's overwhelming evidence that there is. And that's what makes this show so easy. They start with such a flawed assumption that this kind of stuff happens, Doug. And it's just astounding to me that this continues on. Somehow this probably won't change the way the Big Bang is presented, because there's been evidence against it for decades. And, you know, Bob has a great video on it, and you get it at rsr.org/store. It's titled Evidence Against the Big Bang. That ranks as possibly my favorite video that Bob did. If it's not, it's in the top two. His hydroplate theory one's great, but this one is really cool. There's a really neat ending to it also that just shows it's basically traveling through space and how all the galaxies and stars, you can tell there's a pattern, and it's just so cool.
Oh, phenomenal. Definitely. Go to the store, folks. Get the video. It helps us stay on the air. I'll just mention that.
Yeah, so we've known about this, you know, for a long time. The evidence against the Big Bang. And this just reinforces it. And you know, Doug, there's also this thing called the Axis of Evil that Bob and I did a show on before, and we probably need to do an update on it. It is so cool. And basically what they discovered over time with all this data they're pulling in from the universe, you know, the cosmic background radiation, there's a temperature difference, and it all aligns along this axis that happens to just, I wonder why, it goes through our solar system in the Earth's ecliptic plane. It's amazing. It's just baffled the secular scientists. That's why they call it the Axis of Evil. I mean, why did they call it the Axis of Evil? And there's been even more data that has confirmed this, and it's a problem that won't go away for them. So that by itself should have been the death knell of the Big Bang. I mean, it totally goes against the Copernican principle that we're not the center of the universe, and that everything is isotropic no matter which direction you look out into space, and everything's homogeneous, so that the universe big picture is all the same. But this is like, one guy gave an analogy of taking a ruler and stabbing it through a homogenized milk, and you know, you're a magician and that thing goes through and it doesn't cause milk to leak, but then there's clumpy parts of milk just clump itself around that ruler. And that's what they see in space. And it goes right through the Earth's orbital axis. It's amazing.
Really, it's cool. Evil. They call it evil. That scientific principle of evil.
Yeah.
No. Now, Fred, because we're going to run out of time again, Fred. I really need to read portions of this final paragraph from this science.org article, which we will link to so that you can read the entire article and you can judge for yourself whether or not we're taking this out of context. The science article, well, at least the last paragraph I have, is some researchers caution that the stunning profusion of early galaxies, more luminous than astronomers had expected, based on images, are only from a small patch of the sky and may be an illusion. So be cautious. This all could be an illusion. That's, Boylan Colchin, who is apparently a scientist. He wonders whether Webb just got, quote, extra lucky, unquote, This is the kind of stuff
they do. Remember that one guy that quipped that the evidence for the existence of the moon is, or the observation. Yeah, the observational evidence for the moon is it simply doesn't exist.
Observational
error.
By the way, science does close with that question of whether or not Webb just got lucky and happened to look into what happened to be a large clump of galaxies that were denser and brighter and cleaner and older than we would have thought. If it was, it may have just been luck. They say this question will be resolved when CEERS broadens its scope later this year and results come in from other wide-ranging surveys. So they're going to be collecting more data and more accurate pictures and data from space. And so my advice to everyone who supports the Big Bang is run, hide, recalibrate.
Well, Doug, this is an opportunity for us to make another Real Science Radio prediction right now before they get that data.
Okay.
We predict that they will find, once again, smooth, perfect, just awesome-looking galaxies that are fully formed, that are old by their standards, yet near the beginning of the universe, as they believe. So they're going to, once again, find codgers at the start of the universe. Which
codger galaxies.
Yeah,
you could coin a new scientific term, Fred.
That's right. RSR's prediction on codger galaxies.
Oh, so, I love it.
Put it down.
Now we're going to run out of time, Fred. I've got to hurry here. Everybody listen fast. I've got one more headline that I just, when you see this headline, it just screams out that you have to look into this. New data suggests our fundamental model of the universe is wrong. This isn't just waking up at 3 a.m. wondering if maybe you've gone down a rabbit trail. This is the fundamental model of the universe, Fred. And the article, I will link to this as well. Tensions have emerged from measurements of two cosmic properties, the rate at which our universe is expanding and variations in how matter clumps together. You were just talking about the clumping of the milk, right? Mm-hmm. You were just talking about the axis of evil. And so this is more. Efforts to measure these properties in space have returned different values. What this means is that there may be a potentially serious flaw in our basic understanding of the universe and the fabric of reality. Oh, wait a second. The fabric of reality. So anyway, I just want to caution the authors. I got this from a website called denews.com, D-N-Y-U-Z. Never heard of this website before. But Fred, they need to take out the word. Well, they say there may be a potentially serious flaw in our basic understanding. And so, well, I guess you and I, Fred, the RSR audience, and our vaunted and brave producers, they're just not included in that, our basic understanding of the universe. Mm-hmm. And so somebody needs to clue these folks in that. So even if you're wrong about a theory, even if you're wrong about a question, the fabric of reality doesn't change. The fabric of reality is not going to change. The fabric of reality, in fact, eventually will pull you back upon the fabric because the fabric doesn't change. Yep. And so our understanding of the fabric of reality, well, you can't Fred, ours isn't going to change.
Yeah, you can't vote reality off the island. You can't vote truth off the island. No matter how hard they try, they're going to try. So the very next sentence says, in response, scientists around the world are now trying to resolve these tensions. They're scrambling to resolve these tensions. And is there a resolution? Is there a way to resolve something that's true and real and make it not true and not real? No, there isn't. You know, they're not going to vote this off the island, plain and simple.
No, that's right. And they stuck this word reality right in the middle of the article. So they're not going to be able to run away from that one. Reality is there. And finally, from this article, Fred, advances in observational techniques have enabled scientists to measure elusive cosmic properties with unprecedented accuracy. And that really is true. And that's bad news for the Big Bang advocates because, it sounds like the Big Bang will have to go up against, empirical evidence. Oh, no, pictures and data. And, Fred, that's never a good look for the Big Bang or for the marginal psyches that advocate the Big Bang. They go together like Anne Heche and a wall.
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty brutal. So, Fred, that was my segue into what we were going to talk about next, but it looks like we might actually run out of time. And so before we do run out of time, if you've enjoyed the show, even if you haven't enjoyed the show, if you're against everything we've said and you want to debate at some point in the future, we need to stay on the air. So I want to encourage everyone in the audience, go to rsr.org, check out the store. Tons of great videos if you want to understand our worldview, if you want to understand the worldview of the advocates of the Big Bang better, go to rsr.org, go to the store. Lots of different resources that you can, we have a lot of great downloads. We've got videos, we've got written material. You can even sponsor a show, right, Fred? They could go and actually sponsor one of these shows.
Yes, go to rsr.org/sponsor.
That's it. If you wanted to debate, if you wanted to come on this show, if you're an advocate of the Big Bang and you want to come on Real Science Radio and debate, then you would have to sponsor a show. We're going to charge you it's like a two drink minimum type thing. If you're going to come in and debate us, we would almost have to demand that you sponsor a show. Actually, Fred, you know what? If a Big Banger wanted to come on the show and debate you, I personally would sponsor the show myself. So we would let them off. No two drink minimum here. You can come in and debate us right on the air. But there is a link you can click on the page to go and actually sponsor a show. You can sponsor a show every month, Fred, for just $150 a month.
I'd love to have them come on because defending the fabric of reality, that's the position you want to be in. And we would love to have them come on. That's for sure. It's just, it's really wonderful, Doug, that, you know, the evidence for creation is overwhelming. The invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. So all these guys that are trying to deny this and try to push the Big Bang, they are without excuse. And I wanted to mention a quote here I read on the internet, and this is from, I'm pretty sure he's a creationist, but I like the way he said it. And this had to do with the axis of evil, but you can apply it to this latest data or go to rsr.org/store and get that evidence against the Big Bang. We haven't even talked about 90% of the evidence against the Big Bang that you'll see on that video. Well, here's what he said. He said, there's an old saying in America, three strikes and you're out. This should have been the case with the Big Bang theory. But then, of course, all of modern academia would have to come to a screeching halt. All the diplomas, all the grants, endowments, all the prestigious careers, and all the fame and fortune that comes with being a popular scientist would have to be erased if all the scientists actually admitted what they were seeing in their telescopes. Instead, the most recent reports chalk up the new discoveries to anomalies that we hope to answer someday. And that was a quote directly from the European Space Agency regarding the axis of evil and the Planck satellite.
Yeah.
So guess what, Doug? We have 1 minute left. Do we have 1 minute to talk about Anne Heche and brain dead patients?
No, Fred, I don't think we can do Anne Heche. I don't think we can do brain dead in 1 minute. So I'll tell you what, why don't we close by just leaving stand? We now have a standing offer to anyone actually who would like to come into the studio as this new data comes in from the Webb telescope and other methods by which all this data is now being gathered from space more accurately than ever before. A standing offer for anyone who wants to come in and debate the fabric of reality. We're here for you. We'll even sponsor the show ourselves. So you're all invited. The more the merrier. We would even debate two or three people at once, Fred, right? We could even tie one hand behind your back. And then have you debate some of these fellas. So that's
Bob debated. He debated Lawrence Krauss. And
oh, I do.
Yeah, I don't know if that guy's out of prison yet, but you know he was. He had to register as a sex offender.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here.
Are you making this up, Fred?
I just did a Google search. Okay, he's served 13 months in the county jail. I guess he's out now.
I did not know
that. So, Larry,
that.
If you want to come on and talk about the Big Bang, let's
Fred,
talk.
I got to tell you, real quick, Fred, I will close with this then.
But stay away from my family.
I had... That's right. He can only come into the studio. We're going to keep the door locked. He'll be on the other side of the glass. No, I had no idea about that with Lawrence. But, Fred, I'm sitting one night. I was watching that show back when Stephen Colbert used to be funny. You might remember that. You have to think back a while. But there was a time when Stephen Colbert had a show that was actually funny, and he interviewed Lawrence Krauss on his show. And I watched that interview, and I thought to myself, Bob Enyart has to interview this guy, because I could tell this guy, Lawrence Krauss, Stephen Colbert, practically got down on two knees and worshiped him. Almost. He almost did the whole Muslim bow. I was waiting for Stephen Colbert to throw a prayer rug in front of Lawrence Krauss and bow down and scrape his nose on the ground. That's how embarrassing the interview was. And then the things that Lawrence Krauss was saying about the universe, he was promoting his book, A Universe from Nothing. And I thought, Bob Enyart has to interview this guy. And Fred, I was lucky because at the time, Lawrence Krauss had a book to sell. And one thing about a guy with a book to sell is you can always get him on the radio. And so I called his publicist, yada, yada. Fred, you just blew my mind with that. I got it. Now I've got to look up Lawrence Krauss. Me and Larry haven't been in touch in a while, obviously.
Oh, and remember, Doug, there was the Ann Coulter hangups. She came on the show with Bob on KGov, and he interviewed her, and she got mad and hung up on him.
And oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so you can actually watch that. Go to American Right to Life, which is AmericanRTL.org, and just do a search for Ann Coulter hangups.
There are so many great shows, Fred, so many great interviews. Folks, just jump on the website and look around, and you're bound to find something that will pique your interest, and it will be not only entertaining, but also edifying. Fred, I can't thank you enough for having me back on. I do want to get to Anne Heche, brain dead, organ donations, and so let's get together in a week, next week, maybe the week after, depending on what happens in the news, but we'll get together soon. Thanks.
That sounds like a great plan, Doug. So, for Doug McBurney, this is Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the real science radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.